Welcome to Zichud Daf Siman Memor by Ram Goldar, and today Masechet Sanhedrin, Daf Pei Aleph, the ninth parak HaNisrafin. The Zichud Masechet Sanhedrin program has been dedicated to Zichud Nishmas Rav Moshe Ben Yamin Ben Rav Menachem and his son Rav Menachem Avram Ben Rav Moshe Ben Yamin. May their neshamas have an aliyah. So the three topics we're going to focus on. Number one, the next mission states, Mishin is chayv b'shtei misas beis din, one who became chayv to two different executions by beis din, nidum b'chamura, is punished with the more severe one. The Gemara said, this seems obvious. Itaguri, itagur, should he gain by reducing his sentence with an additional lighter violation? Rav explains the cases where he first transgressed and was convicted for the less severe avera, and afterwards violated the more severe avera. Since he was already condemned to die, one might think, hi gavra katilahu, this is already a dead man, and he can't be judged with a more severe misa, so the Mishnah teaches that he can. The Mishnah continues that if one committed a single act, which included two different liabilities for Misa, he's likewise punished with the more severe Misa. Rabbi Yossi says, Nidum Mazika Harishon Shabalav, he's punished with the first prohibition to which he was subject. For example, if a married woman became his mother-in-law, the Tanakhama says his relations are punished with Sreifa, the Misa for the second prohibition. But Rabbi Yossi holds the second prohibition does not take effect, so he's punished with Chenek, the first Misa. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Mishal Laka Vishana, one who receives Malkus twice and transgress a third time, based in Machnisin Osalakipa, based in a places him in a chamber and feeds him barley until his stomach bursts. This refers to repeat Akaris violations, and so he's already condemned to die young. Since he forgoes his life by his repeated Akaris violations, we hasten his death through the keeper procedure. Although a chazaka may require three times to be established, the Mishnah holds averus machzikos. Transgressions establish a chazaka, not malchus, so the third violation incurs the keeper procedure. The next Mishnah states that one who murders shalobe edim without witnesses is placed in a keeper and fed small amounts of bread and water. Three explanations are given how we know about a murder without witnesses. Number one, betis miyuchedis, testimony of separate witnesses, meaning each watch from a different window, which is unacceptable for capital punishment. Number two, a lack of proper hasra, or number three, the edim contradicted each other regarding secondary questions about details. The Gemara clarifies that both kippah punishments are the same. He is first fed small amounts of bread and water until his stomach shrinks, and then fed barley, which expands and bursts his shrunken stomach. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Hagonav as a kasva, one who steals a kasva, which the Gemara explains as a klisharis, a service vessel of the Beis Hamikdash, the makal bakosim, or blasphemes using an idol's name, v'abo aramis, or has relations with an Aramean woman, meaning an idolater's daughter, kanaim pogimbo, zealots seeking to avenge Hashem's honor, may strike and kill him. If a kohen performs a voda while he's tameh, the other kohanim do not have to bring him to basin. Rather, the young kohanim take him outside the azara and split his head open with clubs. Rav Yosef explained cursing with a kosim as a case where one said, Yakakosim es kosmo, let the idol strike the one who gave it power, meaning Hashem. Others say the cases where he said, Yakeo kosim lo ulokono ulamakno, let the idol strike the curse's target, his creator and his benefactor. At the end of the next daf, the Gemara will explain why it's appropriate for all these offenders to be killed. So once again, the three points are, number one, the next Mishnah states, Mishin is chayv b'shtei misas beis din, one who became liable to two different executions by beis din, nidum b'chamura, is punished with the more severe one. The Gemara said, this seems obvious. Itaguri, itagur, should he gain by reducing his sentence with an additional lighter violation? Rav explains the cases where he first transgressed and was convicted for the less severe avera, and afterwards violated the more severe avera. Since he was already condemned to die, one might think, hi gavra katilahu, this is already a dead man, and he can't be judged with a more severe misa, so the Mishnah teaches that he can. The Mishnah continues that if one committed a single act, which included two different liabilities for misa, he's likewise punished with the more severe misa. Rabbi Yossi says, Nidum Mazika Harishon Shabalav, he's punished with the first prohibition to which he was subject. For example, if a married woman became his mother-in-law, the Tanakhama says his relations are punished with Sreifa, the Misa for the second prohibition. But Rabbi Yossi holds the second prohibition does not take effect, so he's punished with Chenek, the first Misa. Point number two, the next Mishnah states, Mishal Laka Vishana, one who receives Malkus twice and transgress a third time, based in Machnisin Osalakipa, based in a places him in a chamber and feeds him barley until his stomach bursts. This refers to repeat Akaris violations, and so he's already condemned to die young. Since he forgoes his life by his repeated Akaris violations, we hasten his death through the keeper procedure. Although a chazaka may require three times to be established, the Mishnah holds averus machzikos. Transgressions establish a chazaka, not malchus. So the third violation incurs the keeper procedure. The next Mishnah states that one who murders shelo be'edim without witnesses is placed in a kippah and fed small amounts of bread and water. Three explanations are given how we know about a murder without witnesses. Number one, be'edus miyuchedus, testimony of separate witnesses, meaning each watched from a different window, which is unacceptable for capital punishment. Number two, a lack of proper hasra, or number three, the edim contradicted each other regarding secondary questions about details. The Gemara clarifies that both kippah punishments are the same. He is first fed small amounts of bread and water until his stomach shrinks, and then fed barley, which expands and bursts his shrunken stomach. And point number three, the next Mishnah states, Hagonav es hakasva, one who steals a kasva, which the Gemara explains as a klisharis, a service vessel of the Beis Hamikdash, the makal bakosim, or blasphemes using an idol's name, v'abo aramis, or has relations with an Aramean woman, meaning an idolater's daughter, kanaim pogimbo, zealots seeking to avenge Hashem's honor, may strike and kill him. If a kohen performs a voda while he's tameh, the other kohanim do not have to bring him to basin. Rather, the young kohanim take him outside the azara and split his head open with clubs. Rav Yosef explained cursing with a kosim as a case where one said, Yakakosim es kosmo, let the idol strike the one who gave it power, meaning Hashem. Others say the cases where he said, Yakeo kosim lo ulokono ulamakno, let the idol strike the curse's target, his creator and his benefactor. At the end of the next daf, the Gemara will explain why it's appropriate for all these offenders to be killed. All right, so now we go to Simon Da Payoff, and her standard Simon is a grandpa. A grandpa, so here goes. The grandpa who had no nachus from his grandson, who became chayv in a more strict misa after being already chayv misa and got the more severe punishment, and had no nachus from another grandson who was led to the kippah after violating a lav sheyesh bo chorus three times, finally had a little nachus when a grandson stood up for what was right and killed a thief taking a vessel from the mikdash. Once again, it's a motion. The grandpa, that must be more enough. Pay off. The grandpa who had no nachus from his grandson, who became chayv in a more strict misa after being already chayv misa and got the more severe punishment, which reminds us, someone convicted for two types of misa receives the more severe one. So the grandpa who had no nachus from his grandson, who became chayv in a more strict misa after being already chayv misa and got the more severe punishment, and had no nachus from another grandson who was led to the kippah after violating a lav sheyesh bo chorus three times, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Mishal lak v'shana, one who receives malchus twice and transgress a third time, basin machnisin osin l'kippah, basin places him in a chamber and feeds him barley until his stomach bursts. This refers to repeated karas violations, and so he's already condemned to die young. And since he forgoes his life by his repeated karas violations, we hasten his death through the kippah procedure. So the grandpa who had no nachus from his grandson became chayiv in a more strict misa after being already chayiv and got the more severe punishment, and had no nachus from a grandson who was led to the kippah after violating a lav sheyesh bo chorus three times, finally had a little nachus when a grandson stood up for what was right and killed a thief taking a vessel from the mikdash, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states, Hagonav es hakasva, one who steals a kasva, which the Gemara explains as a klisharis, a service vessel at the base of mikdash, v'hamakal bakosim, or blasphemes using an idol's name, v'habola aramis, or has relations with an Aramean woman, meaning any idolater's daughter, kanaim pogimbo, zealots seeking to avenge Hashem's honor, may strike and kill him. So once again, the grandpa who had no nachus from his grandson, who became chayv in a more strict misa after being already chayv misa, and got the more severe punishment, and had no nachus from another grandson who was led to the kippah after violating a lav sheyesh bo chorus three times, finally had a little nachus when a grandson stood up for what was right and killed a thief taking a vessel from the mikdash. All right, so now it's time for four blabach chazara. Daf Ein Zayin. So the simmer Daf Ein Zayin is an aze, a goat. So here goes. The band of evil Azuzmen who were put to when they used goatskin ropes, goat, that must be run on Daf Ein Zayin, aze, goat. The band of evil Azuzmen who were putta when they used goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun, which reminds us, the Gemara discusses numerous cases of murder through mitzamsim, confinement. Rava says if one bound someone in the sun or cold, which was strong enough to kill over time, he's liable for the death since the lethal element was there, similar to holding someone underwater. However, if the sun or cold was not initially there but came later, he's exempt. So the band of evil Azuzmen, who are Patuan, they use goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun. And were also Patuan when they removed a ladder from the man stuck in a pit. Which reminds us, Ravid says that if one pushed someone into a pit which had a ladder, but someone came and removed the ladder, or the first person himself removed the ladder, trapping the victim, he's not chai for his death because at the time he pushed him in, he could have escaped. Thus, the original pushing was not lethal, and removing the ladder is a grama, an indirect cause of death. So the band of evil Azuzmen, who are Patuan when they use goatskin ropes to tie up a man where he would eventually bake in the sun, and were also Patuan when they removed a ladder from the man stuck in a pit, were finally chai when they used their goats to divert water onto a victim tied up by the shore. Which reminds us, Rapapa says that if one bound someone near a body of water and caused a burst of water to wash over him by removing the barrier, withholding the water, killing him, it's considered his arrow, meaning direct action, since he released the water's force, and he's chai from the murder. However, this is only bekoach rishon, with the primary force, which fell on the victim the moment he removed the barrier of a bekoach sheni, but the secondary force, which Rashi explains to mean where the victim was at a distance from the water, which flowed until reaching him afterwards, grama ba'amohu, it's merely an indirect cause of his death, and he's exempt. Daf Ein Ches, so the simur Daf Ein Ches is a child going, ugh. So here goes. The kids visiting a basin who went, ugh. Kids going, ugh. That must be on Daf Ein Ches. The kids visiting a basin who went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braisa, Iku Asar B'nei Adam Basar Makos Umeis. If 10 people struck someone with 10 sticks and he died, whether they struck him simultaneously or one after the other, they're patur from execution. Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says that if they struck him one after the other, the last one is chai because he hastened his death, but are exempt if they struck him simultaneously because only a single murderer can be liable. So the kids visiting a basin went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man. And when, ugh, again, when an x-ray proved that another murderer was a trefa and couldn't be convicted, which reminds us, Rabbi said that one who murders a trefa is patur because he's already considered dead. If a trefa committed murder in front of Basin and no testimony is necessary, he's killed because the pasuk says, ubiarta rami kerbecha, and you shall destroy the evil from your midst. If the murder was not in front of Basin, he's patur because any edus against him is edus shiatayachu hazima, edus which cannot be discredited through hazama with this accompanying punishment. Since such witnesses only attempted to kill a trefa and are not executed if they're found zomim, their testimony is invalid. So the kids visiting a basin went, ugh, when the Dayanim couldn't convict the 10 men who struck and killed a man. And when, ugh, again, when an x-ray proved that another murderer was a trefa and couldn't be convicted, saw a victim who was reassessed to survive an attack walk into the room and drop dead in front of them and wondered if his attacker would be convicted for murder, which reminds us. The next mission states that if one struck someone, Bamduhu Amisa, and they assessed that he would die, but he improved and was reassessed to survive, but later it deteriorated and died, the attacker is executed. However, Rabbi Nechemiah says he's pater shrugleim wadavar, because there's an indication in the matter that the victim did not die from the attack. Daf Ein Tes. So the simon Daf Ein Tes is an 8, a pen, and we often use a sofer in the simon. So here goes. The angry sofer was pater when he threw his quill. Sofer? Quill? That must be on Daf Ein Tes, 8, quill, pen, sofer. The angry sofer was patur when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, which reminds us. The next Mishnah states that one who intended to kill an animal or idolater, but instead killed a Jew standing nearby, he's patur. If he intended to strike the victim where he would not be killed, but struck his heart where the blow could kill him, or intended to strike him where the blow could kill him, but mistakenly struck him where the blow was not able to kill him, but he died anyway, he's also patur. Rabbi Shimon says, even if he intended to kill this person, but killed that person, he's patur. So the angry sofer was patur when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, and was patur again when he threw his inkwell at a group of 9 yidden and a goy, and killed a yid, which reminds us, we learned that if one threw a stone into a group consisting of 9 Jews and 1 non-Jew, and a Jew is killed, the person is patur. The pasuk teaches that although the majority are Jews, since the non-Jew was kavua, fixed in place, the killer is not executed because kol kavua k'machzal machzadami. Any suffix involving something fixed in place is considered like a suffix of 50-50. So the angry sofer was patur when he threw his quill at a goy, disturbing his writing, and mistakenly killed a yid, and was patur again when he threw his inkwell at a group of 9 yidden and a goy, and killed a yid, saw his friend get away with murder when he got mixed with other murderers, before his Gemara Din, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, Rotzeach shenisar ba'acherim. If a murderer became mixed with others, they're all exempt. Rav Yehuda says, konsin osol kippa. They're gathered into a chamber and are indirectly killed, as described in Daf Pei Aleph. Shmuel explained that one murderer, whose verdict was not issued, became mixed with convicted murderers. The Rabban hold, en gomrin dino shel adam el befanav. We can only issue a verdict in his presence, and since he cannot be identified, he cannot be convicted, and everyone is pater. Rav Yehuda holds they cannot all be exempt since they're all murderers, so they're all killed through the kippa method. Daf Pei. So the Simran Daf Pei is a painter. So here goes. Well, one of Basin's painters. Painters? That must be on Daf Pei. Well, one of Basin's painters painted Usser onto the offspring of a convicted cow, which reminds us, Ravina amended a brisa to say that if a cow killed a person and conceived before the verdict and gave birth afterwards, the offspring is prohibited because uber yerech imohu. The fetus is like a thigh of the mother and becomes forbidden through the mother's verdict. So, while one of Basin's painters painted Usser onto the offspring of a convicted cow, another was changing the sign above the mixture of convicted men to the more lenient punishment, which reminds us, the Mishnah on the previous daf taught that if people sentenced to different methods of execution were mixed together, they're all given the most lenient execution. The Gemara asked that this should prove that Musu Adavar Chamur Habi Musu Adavar Kal. Someone warned for a more severe execution is also considered warned for a more lenient execution. Otherwise, those who are warned and convicted for the more severe Misa cannot be killed with the more lenient Misa. Rabbi Yirmi answers in the Mishnah's case is Shehisu Bostam, that they warned him generally that he would be killed, but did not specify which method, so he's considered warned for every type of Misa. So, while one of Basin's painters painted Usser onto the offspring of a convicted cow, another was changing the sign above the mixture of convicted men to the more lenient punishment, even though the majority were Chayiv Sreifa, which according to Rabbi Shimon is more severe, which reminds us, Rav Yehuda said to teach the Mishnah as Haniskalim Benisrafin. Those sentenced with Skeel became mixed with those sentenced with Sreifa, and Rabbi Shimon rules they're all stoned, the more lenient Misa, according to him, despite the majority being sentenced to Sreifa. All right, so now it's time to conclude the pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf to discuss marrying off one's minor son or returning an Aveda to an idolater? That's on daf Ayin Vav. Good. Number 2. Which daf do we learn that one who intended to kill an animal or idolater but instead killed a Jew standing nearby is Pater? That's on daf Ayin Tes. Good. Number 3. Which daf do we learn when we put someone in the kippah who has violated a lav sheyesh bo chorus 3 times? That's on daf Payoff. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we discuss when the offspring of a condemned cow becomes prohibited? That's on daf Pay. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss the cases where we apply the din of Kanaim Pogimbo, such as one who steals a klisharis from the Mikdash? That's on daf Payoff. Good. Number 6. Which daf do the case of the man who was obsessed with a woman, where the rabbis ruled that it's better that he die than even speak to her from behind a mechitza? That's on daf Ayin Hey. Good. Number 7. Which daf do we learn that someone convicted for 2 types of Misa receives the more severe one? That's on daf Payoff. Good. Number 8. Which daf do the case of binding someone by a body of water and causing a burst of water to flow over him to kill him? That's on daf Ayin Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do we learn how a more lenient Misa is given to one who did not receive Hasra for it, such as in the case of people sentenced to different executions who are mixed together? That's on daf Pay. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we discuss the case of a murderer who did not have his Gemar Din, who became mixed with other convicted murderers? That's on daf Ayin Tes. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichu, wishing you a great day and great learning.